Thankful for all of you musicians that play for us. What a blessing they are to us. Amen. Turn in your Bibles tonight, 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20, we're going to begin there in verse 35, and go to about verse 43 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 20, and verse 35 to about verse 43 here this evening. I entitled this message tonight, Thy Life for His Life. Thy Life for His Life, 1 Kings chapter 20, and verse 35 to verse 43. As we begin our message this evening, one of the things that I want us to understand too, as we just kind of a little backdrop to what's going on here, as we look back on a few verses or even the last chapter, one of the things that we see is we see that Ben-Hadad, who was an enemy of the nation of Israel, he was coming, he's of Syria, and he was coming to destroy Ahab and his people. And so he surrounded the nation with his army. He sent messengers into the city. And he told Ahab that he was going to destroy him. He was going to take his wives and take his kids and take his money and just take everything that he had. And that everything that he owned that he was now going to possess. And so they kind of had some communication going back and forth. And well, they went to battle. But right before they went to battle, though, God sent a prophet to the king, King Ahab. And when the prophet got down there to King Ahab, he told Ahab, he said, listen, he said, God's going to deliver this king into your hands. He said, and he told him, he said, when he delivers this king into your hands, see, God was going to do that because Ben-Hadad needed to go. He needed to die. And so God was going to hand deliver this king into the hands of Ahab. And so the prophet told him this. And so they went to battle. They started fighting. And whenever they started fighting, something happened. You got down. Let's take a look at verse 34. The Bible says, and Ben-Hadad said unto him, because Ben-Hadad, understand, at this point in the battle, he had lost. And so now that Ben-Hadad was losing, he was kind of looking at things a little bit a different way. See, first he said, everything that you have, I'm going to take from you. And then when he started losing, he began to scratch his head a little bit and said, well, maybe I can try to talk to him a little bit and we can kind of work this thing out, you know. So he didn't like how things was going. So he said there in verse 34, the Bible says, and Ben-Hadad said unto him, the cities which my father took from thy father, I will restore. And thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. Mistake number one. One of the things we see right off the very bat is that God was given Ben-Hadad into the hands of Ahab. And one of the things that God was doing that for is because Ben-Hadad needed to leave off the scene. God needed him gone. And so God was going to deliver him into his hands, into the nation of Israel, so that the nation of Israel could be done with this once and for all. But what happened was, and Ahab knew this, but what happened was, is when this began to take place, what Ahab decided to do is, as he began to think about the offer that was made to him. And there in verse 34, Ben-Hadad said, I will restore to you the cities which my father took from your father. And you can make streets for you in Damascus and all, you know, and all these kinds of things. And so what did Ben-Hadad begin to do? What did Ahab begin to do? When Ahab began to think about what Ben-Hadad, I'll get this out in a minute. There's a lot of dabs in there, you know. It's kind of confusing. So when Ahab began to think about what Ben-Hadad said to him, he started thinking about the cities. He started thinking about the gold and thinking about the possessions. Instead of listening to what God said to do, of course, he was a godless man anyways. But instead of him thinking about what God said to do, what he began to think about this offer, this special offer that came to him. He began to think to himself, well, man, I can expand my kingdom. I can expand my kingdom. I can grow and I can do all these things. Listen, he could have done that if he had killed the king too. But he didn't do it. And so what he did was he began to kind of deal with the devil, so to speak. You ever heard of that term before, making a deal with the devil? Well, that's kind of what he was doing. Them two began to talk. And the Bible says as they was on the battlefield and Ben-Hadad saw that he was losing,
They brought Ben-Hadad over to Ahab, and Ahab said, come on up here and jump in my chariot. And so both of them are sitting and standing in Ahab's chariot, and both of these kings are talking to each other, trying to reason together. But instead of Ahab listening to what God told him to do, he began to listen to Ben-Hadad. And Ben-Hadad said, listen, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. Just think about it. Just let me live. Just let me live, and I'll get out of your business. I'll get out of your hair. You won't have to worry about me anymore. I'll give this to you, and you can have the victory. You know, just let me live. Just don't worry about me, and I'll give you, and you can... And man, there'll be streets to be, just think about it, there'll be streets in Damascus that'll have your name on it. They'll make buildings and put your picture all over it. There'll be billboards with Ahab all over the city. Got his mind really thinking, got his mind really going. And so what he did was he ignored what God told him to do, and he made a deal with the devil. And when he made a deal with the devil, that was a major, major blunder in his life. Listen, there's a lot of people out here that are making deals with the devil tonight. Making deals with the devil. They understand this is what God said to do. This is how God said to live. This is where God said to go. They understand God's commands. They understand these things. They've been told it. It's been preached to them. They read it. They understand it. But they're out here making deals with the devil. Because the devil's got them thinking, listen, I can give you this, and I can give you that, and I can give you this city. Listen, you don't have this over here. I can give this to you. Look how nice that would be. And that's what Ben-Hadad was doing to Ahab. Because Ben-Hadad knew how he could play Ahab. Listen, the devil knows how he can play you too. Amen. The devil knows what he knows. The devil knows how to play you. He knows what you desire in your heart. He knows what's gonna, as they say, strip your trigger. He knows what he can entice you with to get you to jump, to get you to strike, you know? And so that's what Ben-Hadad was doing. He knew that he was fixing to die. He knew he was fixing to be destroyed. And so he tried to reason with Ahab, so that he could live just long enough that maybe if he leaves me alone and just lets me live, I can gain up enough strength to maybe come back and get him again. But Ahab, he made a deal with the devil. And the Bible says there in verse 34, then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. He says, you got a deal. You've got an agreement. We've got a covenant together now. I will send you away, and both of us have an understanding of what this deal is. And so he made a deal with the devil, and he sent Ben-Hadad away. The Bible says, so he made a covenant with him and sent him away. Well, right after this happens, isn't it amazing how God, right after this happened, God shows up on the scene just like that. Because God was looking down from heaven. He heard this whole thing. He saw what was going on. He heard this whole thing. And so while Ahab is making a deal with the devil, as he is making a covenant with the Ben-Hadad, God's looking down from heaven, and I imagine he's up there just shaking his head. I done told that boy. I done told him this is what he was supposed to do. And there again, he didn't listen to what I said to do. And so there in verse 35 is where we're going to pick up our text tonight. The Bible says, and a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor, in the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Now, you're sitting there thinking to yourself right off the bat, you're thinking, what in the world does this have to do with Ben-Hadad and Ahab? What does this have to do with them? You'll see it here in just a minute. So what we do is we leave the scene of Ahab. And now here we are over in the school of the prophets, just like preacher schools today. We're over here in the school of the prophets, and God picked him out a preacher down there. God picked him out a prophet down there. The Bible doesn't mention what his name is, but God picked him out a prophet down there. And the Bible says, a certain man of the sons of the prophets, he was a prophet, and the Bible says that he told this prophet. He told this prophet, he says, you go to your neighbor, and you tell your neighbor to hit you. You say, what kind of sense does that make? You want me to go to my, you want me to go to somebody over here? You want me to walk across the street? Lord, are you sure I'm hearing this right? You want me to walk across the street and you want me to ask my friend over here to hit me? Yeah, that's what I want you to do. Now, I'm sure all of you are probably sitting here scratching your head thinking, why in the world would God want his prophet to walk across the street and tell his friend to hit him in the face? Phil volunteers. Now, I know you've probably wanted to do it a time or two. Now, you can probably think of some people, well, I'll tell you what, if they told me to hit them, buddy, I'd let them have it. The only thing that's keeping you restrained is knowing you shouldn't do it. But I've got to tell you what, if they told me God said to hit them, boy, I'd let them have it. Yeah, you know, I know you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. The Bible says there in verse 35, I promise you this is linked to my story. I promise you this is linked together. So the Bible says a certain man of the sons of the prophets, this prophet over here in this preacher's school, over here in the prophet's school, because back then they had schools for prophets that learned doctrine and went out and preached God's word, just like they do today. And so there's the prophet school. God went down there and he pinpointed him a prophet. He told him, he says, I want you to come out of there. And he says, and I want you to go across the street to your neighbor over there, and I want you to tell them to hit you. And so, he went across the street to his neighbor. Notice what he said. He said unto him, in the word of the Lord. In other words, he's saying, God told me to tell you to hit me. And you can imagine, the guy's probably sitting there looking at him thinking, what? He says, yes, I'm telling you, I promise you, just hit me. Listen, hit me right here the best that you can. I mean, just lay it on me, buddy. Just hit me right here. And the guy's probably sitting there thinking, man, you are crazy. I am not going to hit you. I don't want to hit you. I don't want nothing to do with that. Yes, in the word of the Lord, God told me to tell you to hit me. And he says, no, man, I don't want to do this. The Bible says he refused to do it. Look at verse 35. He says, and the man refused to smite him. He didn't want to hit him. He thought, man, what kind of sense does this make? He says, listen, God told me to tell you to do it. And he still didn't do it. And then notice what happened. The Bible said there in verse 36, then said he unto him. So the prophet spoke to him and he said, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Wow. You're thinking, man, all of that because he wouldn't hit God's man? You mean that guy died because God told him to hit the prophet, and he refused to hit the prophet. He didn't want to hit the prophet, but God told him to hit the prophet, but he wouldn't do it. And so as soon as he left, a lion came out and ate him. You say, man, what in the world? I think what it goes to show us is that God means business. And that sometimes God goes to great lengths and shows us tremendous examples in his word about how serious he is about things. Amen? About how serious God is. He says, listen, if this is what I said to do, then this is what I mean. Amen? If this is what I said to do, then this is what I mean to do. I told you to hit him, you should have hit him. Listen, that guy over there, he was probably a prophet anyway. He was the neighbor. They probably knew each other. He says, you go over there, you tell him to hit you, but you tell him to hit you because I told him to, because God said, because I told him to. And he didn't listen. So he disobeyed the voice of God, and then he ended up paying the price for it. And isn't that what happens to us too? I mean, we disobey what God says to do. We end up paying a price. We say, man, that sounded kind of hefty. But, you know, we got to understand this too. God has a plan for everything that he does and a reason for everything that he does. And in our minds, we look at it and we see it and we say, man, what in the world is that? I mean, why did that happen? But it's a serious thing to disobey God. It's a serious thing. I mean, let's think about this. We go back to the garden where Adam and Eve were. Did they kill anybody? No. Did they rape anybody? No. Did they do anything like? No, they didn't do anything. What did they do? They simply disobeyed God. And because they disobeyed God, it brought sin into the world. And it changed everything as we know it. And so God was serious when he says, listen, I'm telling you to do this. And when the guy failed, when the man failed to do what he was told to do, God judged him right there on the spot. And it was pretty quick. The Bible says there in verse 36, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. I don't know about you, but if I was this guy, I wouldn't leave this prophet's sight. I would be hanging on to his coattails. Everywhere he went, I'd be right there with him. But obviously, maybe this guy didn't believe that's what God said. He didn't believe him. He didn't believe this is what God said. You know, there's a lot of people out here today that, you know, we're trying to tell people what God said and they just don't believe it. And because they don't believe it, what's happening? They're getting hurt. God's saying, listen, you need to do this. You need to obey this. This is how you need to live your life. And God's telling people from pulpits all across America, from the radio and from all different kinds of different avenues, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to live. And I'm the only God that there is. And he's broadcasting it all over the world. But he didn't believe. Because if he believed, number one, he would have hit the, if he believed, if he really believed, he'd have hit the prophet like the prophet asked him to. But not only that, if he really would have believed, he wouldn't have left the prophet's sight. He'd have stayed right there with him. Because I know if I believed him, I'd stay there right there with him. I wouldn't want to be gone. I'd be right there. But he didn't believe. And because he didn't believe how serious God was, because he didn't believe, because he didn't believe in this prophet, he ended up suffering. And notice as we keep moving forward, notice what happens. The Bible says there, so we see in verse 35, we see God's instruction. Then there in verse 36, we see God's discipline. We see how God disciplines whenever we don't heed his instruction. And then we get down to verse 37. The Bible says, then he found another man. And he said, smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. And so he found another guy. He says, listen, in the word of the Lord, God said for you to hit me. And he reared back, pow, and knocked him a real good one. And the Bible says he hit him and he wounded him. But that's what God needed him to do. You say, what in the world is going on here? And what does this have to do with Ahab? I mean, what in the world? What is this prophet doing? What is God trying to do? He's walking this prophet around asking everybody to beat him up. I mean, what in the world is happening? Sometimes God does things that we just don't understand. Sometimes it just does not make sense to us, but God knows exactly what he's doing. And God sent his prophet down there the second time, and the prophet found another guy, and he said, hit me. In the word of the Lord, God said for you to hit me. Now hit me. And so the guy hit him. The Bible says that when he got hit, that he was wounded. He was wounded. The Bible says there in verse 37, the Bible says the man smote him so that in smiting he wounded him. And so we see there in verse 37, God's alternative choice. Listen, if you won't do what God's asked you to do, God can find somebody else that will. Amen. God told this guy to do it. He wouldn't do it. So God judged him. So what did God do? Now, did what this man did, not obeying God, did that divert God's plan at all? No. What did he do? He found somebody else that would do it. And so he went to this guy. And so we see God's alternative choice. He found somebody that would listen. And so he hit the prophet. And notice what happened there in verse 38. So the prophet departed. After he got hit, after he was wounded, the Bible says the prophet departed and he waited for the king. So he had this plan. Now that he had done been hit, now that he had done been wounded, and you can tell that he had been beat up. You can tell that he had been through some pretty rough times. So now what he did was he had this plan. And what his plan was he was going to wait for King Ahab to come. And notice what happens. The Bible says in verse 38, so the prophet departed. He waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. So what did he do? Now here you got this wounded prophet. He's probably kind of bloody and he's probably got a black eye and he's not looking so good, you know. And then he goes and he puts ashes on his face and makes himself look real dirty and look real nasty. And he sits there and he waits for the king to come by. And what he did was he's almost like he made himself look like, the Bible says this prophet disguised himself. Almost like he was a soldier that was out there on the battlefield. And notice what happens. The Bible says there in verse 39, and the king passed by, and he cried unto the king. The prophet cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. And if by any means he be, missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And thy servant was busy here and there, and he was gone. And the king of Israel said to him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself has decided it. You say, well, what's happening? So we see the prophets there. He sees the king come by and he says, king, I was out there in the battle. This guy come by and he had somebody with him and he told me to watch him. And he says, so I was sitting here watching him. He says, now listen, if you let this guy go, then you're going to have to pay your life for his life. So you better make sure you keep an eye on him. You better make sure you don't let him go, or you're going to pay for your life, or you're going to give me a talent of silver, either one. But you better make sure you don't lose this guy. And then the guy leaves. He says, but you know what, king? Notice what he said there in verse 40. He says, but as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Now that right there is something to think about. As thy servant was busy here and there. See, he was busy doing other things. He wasn't busy doing what he was supposed to be doing. If he was busy doing what he was supposed to be doing, the guy would still be there. Does that make sense? He said, but as I was busy here and as I was busy there, he was gone. He was gone. But if he was doing what he was supposed to have been doing, then that guy would have been there and he would have never escaped. And so what it is, man, that speaks bounds to our life, that we can be busy doing so many things but not busy what we're supposed to be doing. That we can be busy here and busy there and busy here and busy there but not busy with what we're supposed to be doing. And when we're not busy with what we're supposed to be doing, you know what happens? We lose. We lose. You say, what do we lose? Man, we lose all kinds of things. We lose all kinds of things. And notice, as he was talking to the king said, well, he said, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself has decided. He says, well, king, what am I going to do? And he says, well, the guy told you, you're supposed to watch him. You're the one that lost him. And so either you give your life for his life or you give him a talent of silver. Your statement has already judged you. The king said, so be it. It is what it is. And then notice what happens. In verse 41, the Bible says, and he hasted, talking about the prophet, he hasted and he took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And so the prophet, he's sitting there and he's probably got a black eye and you know, and he's kind of beat up and he looks kind of dirty with ashes all over his face and all over his body. And here he is pleading with the king and he's trying to get the king to decide what should happen, because he's begging to the king. He's saying, what do I do? This is what happened. What do I do? And the king pronounced judgment. He said, listen, it is what it is. It's your fault. You're going to suffer because you was too busy here. You're going to suffer because you was too busy there. You're going to suffer because you were not busy doing what you're supposed to be doing. You were not busy enough being where you were supposed to be. And he says, you're going to suffer, and you're going to end up giving your life for it. Listen, there's a lot of people out here today that are busy here, busy here, busy here, busy there, busy there, busy there, and they're losing everything they got because they're not being busy where they should be busy, not where they should be. And the Bible says, he went to the king, and he appealed to the king, and the king said, hey, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself has decided it. This is what's going to happen to you. Hey, I'm sorry, but this is where you are. And the Bible says there in verse 41, the prophet, the Bible says he hasted. He took the ashes away from his face. And as the king was standing there, I imagine that prophet, he he began to wipe his face, and he probably took his tunic, and he probably began to wipe his face and get all those ashes off of him, and he probably began to undress off those clothes, and because he had disguised himself, and Ahab began to see the prophet's mantle around him, and he began to think, oh my goodness, this isn't a soldier. This is one of the prophets. This is one of God's prophets. And notice what happens. The Bible says that he hasted. He took the ashes away from his face, and the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I have appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life. So what did he do? God let Ahab choose his own path. God showed Ahab what he did by using an example of somebody else. Does that bring in your mind to something that what God used Nathan to do to David? You remember that? How God brought Nathan the prophet whenever David did what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah and all that, and didn't repent of that for so long, and finally, because David never repented of it, God brought Nathan the prophet in. And Nathan the prophet gave him this example of this man that owned all these sheep, but yet this other guy went and took his sheep, took this other guy's sheep. But yet he had all of these, but he went and took his. What should happen to him? And the king said, you ought to kill him and have him destroyed, because that is unfair. He's got all these sheep. What's he doing going on there and taking his sheep? You should just kill him. And Nathan the prophet looked at him and pointed his finger and said, you're the man. That's what God did to Ahab. Same thing God did to Ahab. God used one of his prophets to go in there and say, hey, this is the judgment you're pronouncing. Listen, you're the man, Ahab. You're the one. You're the one that let the guy go that I appointed to destruction. You're the one. I put him right here. I put him in your hands, and you let him go. You made a deal with the devil. You didn't care nothing about what I said. You didn't want to listen to me. You didn't want to obey me. I could have gave you peace. I could have gave you prosperity. I could have gave you comfort in the whole land with no wars and no trouble. But yet, because you defied me, because you didn't want nothing to do with me, and because you let the enemy go when I put him right there in your hands, you are the man, my friend, and you are going to die. And he said there in verse 42, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of my hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house, heavy and displeased. I would say so. I mean, if the prophet came and gave you some information like that, I believe you would be displeased as well. But Ahab seemed to have a problem with being displeased, because I began to notice over in chapter 21 and verse 4 that the Bible says that Ahab came into his house again, heavy and displeased. You know, it's interesting how whenever we don't follow God and we don't live how we're supposed to do, that this is what happens. We constantly walk around heavy and displeased. Heavy in life, displeased in life, because we know we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We know we're not where we're supposed to be. We're busy here doing this and busy here doing that, but busy doing all kinds of things that we're not really necessarily supposed to be so much time doing. We're busy doing all this stuff, but we're not busy being busy for God. The Bible says, shows us here that he was heavy and displeased. Chapter 21, verse 4, he was heavy and displeased. I mean, Ahab, he was the kind of guy, he was always heavy and displeased. And the reason why is because he didn't follow God. He didn't live his life right. God tried to give him chance after chance after chance. God tried to speak to his heart. God tried to send prophets his way. God tried to do some great things for him. But every time God did, he just turned away from it. Every time God did something miraculous to get his attention, he just blew it off. Finally, there came down to this moment. God put his enemy right there in his hands, and he let his enemy go. He made a deal with the devil. He made a deal with the guy. The guy said, Ahab, I'm going to come down there. I'm going to take everything you got. I'm going to take your wives. I'm going to take your kids. I'm going to take your house. I'm going to take your country. I'm going to take your people. I'm going to take everything you got. And then he turned around and made a deal with him and let him go. Now, let's just bring this back into our minds this evening. If somebody came to you, sent a letter to your house and said, I'm going to take everything you got. I'm going to take your spouse. I'm going to take your kids. I'm going to take everything you own. I'm going to take it all. Would you decide to make a deal with this person and befriend them? I would probably say not. You think, I think I'd like to have a little bit more common sense than that. But it's amazing. It's amazing how when we are so overwhelmed in sin and how we can get so far away from God that we can't even see anymore. We don't understand clearly like we should. And here we see Ahab making a deal with the devil. I mean, he was just like, I'll give you, listen, I'll make a deal with you. I will let you go. And it came back to bite him because God judged him for that. And God said, it's going to be your life for his life. And the Bible says he walked away heavy and displeased. So we see verse 35, God's instruction. Because he didn't heed his instruction, we see there in verse 36, God's discipline. And after God's discipline, we see there in verse 37, God's alternative. And then we see there in verse 38, we see God's craftiness. Listen, I'm thankful that I serve a God that is very crafty in the things that he does. And he has a plan. And we see in verses 39 and 40, we see God's riddle. Verses 41, we see God's revelation. And then there in verse 42, we see God's judgment upon the king. And God judged Ahab, because he let the enemy go, because he made a deal with the devil, because he wanted nothing else to do with God. So God said, you know what? I'm tired of trying to show on you things. I'm tired of trying to deal with you. I'm tired of trying to help you. And so he just let Ahab go. Wow. The Bible says the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what's going on in your heart and your mind, but I do know this. I know that we serve a God that every day He knocks on the doors of our heart. Not just the people out here that are lost, but people that are saved. People that are saved that maybe have gone, that are going in the wrong direction. People that have been backslid on God, and God's doing everything He can to try to bring them in, and everything He can to try to bring them back. And God's doing everything He can every day to keep people out of this world and to send people their way and to send prophets their way and to send godly people their way to try to speak to them so that they can see how they need to live. But sometimes we get out here, we get so busy here and so busy there and busy with this and busy with that and not where we're supposed to be, not doing what we're supposed to be doing and making deals with the devil out here in this world. You say, why in the world would he do that? Well, when you see his life and you analyze this life, it's kind of easy to see how he would do it because he was a godless man. But it's amazing that even after all the things that we have seen already, Mount Carmel, all these things that we've seen, that God is still trying to help Ahab. Still trying to help Ahab. Because God was trying to give him a chance. But he just wouldn't take it. And so God finally just pronounced judgment upon him, and Ahab died. Sure did. Bible says, guy reared back with an arrow. And he shot an arrow, and it came and hit him, pierced him. He died there in the chariot. Let's pray tonight. Father, we come to you this evening, and we